You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
In the studio this morning, we have got the wonderful Mokotron, aka Te Opera McDowell. Morena, Te Opera, how are you this morning?
Ka pai a tamari, kau tai a tamari, tamaki, here here, nā waka, here here, nā tangata. Yep, really good. Good to see you two again.
Oh, it's lovely to see you. It also feels exciting. That's the first time you've come into the studio, and I've been able to introduce you by, you know, your other name.
Marika.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. We were just having a wee chat about that off air. You're sort of moving into a space where you're kind of ready to lift the mask almost a wee bit so people can see who Mokotron is. What's that process been like for you?
Yeah, it's been unusual. I mean, Rahira knows me because they've been in my course.
I
teach Māori history, colonial history, you know, Māori culture. I'm a senior lecturer in Māori studies and head of school of Māori studies. So I never thought this Waiata stuff had anything to do with that. So I kept those kind of separate.
Yeah.
Sort of discovered that, oh, compositions are publications and 40% of my job was publications. So I guess I'm starting to get used to the idea that maybe I can not live two different lives and just kind of live one life. But, you know, I'm half caste, so I'm used to living two different lives. So adding a third is just like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's just what we do. Yeah.
Just normal. Like.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. That's a cool thing, though, like a nice bit of almost praxis for your, like, music mahi to be able to see how it sits amongst the other work you do, not necessarily as something outside of it, but just as another thread in that big tapestry of ideas that you're working with. And some pretty cool ideas that we're talking about this morning, because you've just announced the United Tribes of Bass yesterday on Waitangi Day, which is a remix album which is coming out on the 22nd of March, featuring only Māori and Cook Island Māori electronic practitioners from across the motu. And you launched it with a beautiful karu remix of Tawhito. Tell us a wee bit about what the idea for this remix album came from. Why was it important to you to create this?
You know, a big part of it was Zach from Sun Return. He likes doing remix albums, but he's also really aware that this whole Mokotron kaupapa isn't just about me. It's about trying to push for the birthing of a movement of Māori electronic music. I was saying it online yesterday. I mean, you know, Apirana Nata from this university, from these, you know, pathways here, he saw the potential of combining black music, you know, dance music, club music, electric music. It was called jazz. He took that, added Māori, te reo Māori, and came up with Waiata Aringa. That's where Kapahaka comes from, and we see how big that is. So for me, it's like, can we do it again?
Yeah.
Can we have the second coming? Can this generation have our own kaupapa? You know, because electronic music is the sound of the cities, and, you know, 83% of us live in cities. So it's like, could we launch something that could last 100 years? I don't want to do that by myself. I don't want to be the alien weaponry of Māori electronic music. I don't want people to go, oh, that's Mokotron's lane. Like, you can't do these things by yourself. We've had people who've done, you know, there's been a single here and a single there, but there's no follow-up and no movement. And it's like, well, the way you do that is bring people with you. So just went out and pulled together as many Māori artists as I could. I couldn't get them all. I'm disappointed to see Mr. Meaty Boy. I only, like, once we'd sent up, you know, amazing tunes, amazing DJ, one of the best I've ever seen, and I only found out after I'd sent out the remixes that they were producing. I was like, damn it!
So, next one.
But yeah, so it's just about, you know, trying to build a war party and start something that's beyond me. So exciting in those terms. And it turned out the way you do it is you just force people. You just say, you're gonna remix. Do you want to remix one of my tunes?
Did you give them much of a choice about what song to work with, or did you kind of have an idea about who you thought might sit well with each track?
No, it was totally up to them. I forced them, but it was like gave them a strenuous opportunity. But no, it was up to them whether they wanted to. I thought half of them would turn it down, like, who wants to mess with my tune? So it was stoked that everyone said yes. But
that's so cool.
No, it was totally at their discretion what they picked, and it was quite shocking, you know, like it was really surprising some of the choices people made. So
I think there's something really we've talked about this a lot, particularly because, as you say, Zach at Sun Return is really good at encouraging that remix culture and really valuing what it means about conversations about art and the conversations that people's you know, works are having with each other. That is such a fundamentally interesting thing, especially when we've got quite atomized attention spans at the moment when it comes to music listening. This is a way of forcing you to go back and rethink about something and reconnect with it. And I think that for this project as well, there is a real sense of it going backwards and forwards in time a little bit, these conversations, because some of the songs that are being remixed have sat with you for a while, some are newer. The track that came out yesterday, Tawhito, which was remixed by Karu, who's just out here doing the most at the moment. What was it like kind of receiving that song back? How did you feel when you heard this one land back in your inbox?
It was like what I dreamed of all these decades was suddenly real. Like, you know, I write tunes, but they're not like perfect. They don't sit perfectly into genres. They're not necessarily club bangers, but, you know, I'm just doing my thing. But the thing about Karu is they're, you know, the just total don of nailing dance floor dubs. They're
totally
at the forefront. So to take what I'd done, which was a very heartfelt pātere and pūoro, and to combine that with like a sound that just nails it, it was incredibly exciting. So this is what I want. This is clearly a Māori waiata. It's predominantly just Māori melody and vocals, but this could smash any dance floor anywhere. And so, yeah, I just, it was incredible. It was really exciting because it's like, this is what I wanted. This is what I want to hear. I didn't think I would ever be able to give birth to it, and I didn't. I think Karu did. And I do think people will look back at that tune in years to come and go, oh, that was when Māori electronic music came of age. It wasn't just a novelty anymore. So yeah, no, I was already excited that I would, you know, praying that Karu would get on board.
Yeah.
I thought that's a crazy team up, but
hard.
But what he came up with was frightening, you know.
It's quite a cool thing when you get someone who just clicks into the bit that you couldn't quite put your own finger on, but you knew was there in your head, and then someone else manages to realize that. It's a nice feeling of being on the same wavelength or something, eh?
Yeah, but it's also it's we can't do these things alone. Māori music doesn't really work like that. It's about you know, kapahaka have like 40 people in them at least, not including support staff. Like,
yeah,
you can't. You have to take those values into electronic music.
Yeah.
Or you have to bring electronic equipment into those values.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Your Superman reveal has got a few people on the text machine. Someone says, oh my God, I had Tōpito for a lecture last semester. I never realised it was Mockatron. So you've done your big mask off reveal this morning. I love it. We're in a weird moment as a country right now. There's some spicy conversations going on, some tense feelings out there. There's quite a heavy Wairua, but some also really quite amazing, beautiful conversations coming out of it too. Where does art and music especially sit in that in your mind? Because it feels like something important in this space, at least in my opinion.
I think that's what we've seen over the last 10 years is a shift back to art. You know, art is the ultimate sign of whether a culture is flourishing or whether it's suffering, because when people are starving and you know, suffering, the art is the first thing to go. That was something that Apirana Nata said, Whenakupa said it, Te Puia Herangi all said it, you know, and it's still true. And so, you know, the last 10 years has just seen this explosion of Māori music, Māori figurative painting, moko, whakaero, pūoro, everything. And so as we go into these harder times, I guess that's my worry, that art will stop happening, but it hasn't. We saw that, you know, the most arresting moment at Waitangi on the weekend was a piece of, you know, performative art led by Tame Iti.
Hard.
So I think, you know, and it's not just about arts for art's sake. I know I'm employed by arts, but, but you know, it's that when we do these things, we're not just talking about ancestors, we're not just talking about our culture, we are being our ancestors. That is how we express. We are not just talking about the importance of our knowledge basis or our mātauranga, but actually putting it into practice. And it goes back to both ancestral ways of being, you know, taking bone from places and clay and the tikanga that's associated with that. But it's also about being ancestral, you know, like living in our ancestral bodies. So, yeah, I hope that art becomes one of those weapons that we continue to carry with us. Certainly it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, and I just hope it's something that continued. It was so heartbreaking going through what I call the Matariki period, where, you know, that first Matariki holiday was, like, beautiful. It was like, we've never had a day that celebrated being Māori. Waitangi Day is a day of commemoration at best, you know, sometimes physical confrontation. So the fact that we had a public holiday that just expressed and celebrated Māori art was amazing. And I hope we don't lose this in, you know, the trinity of idiots. I don't know like, what we're calling that era, like the three unwise men kind of, yeah.
It feels like, I mean, maybe it's my optimism or something, but also maybe it is because we have the privilege of talking to so many people who are using art as a way to kind of connect with others as well through weird stuff. And that might be global weird stuff, local weird stuff. There's a feeling that even though it's hard and it's kind of ugly at the moment, the love that's there and that commitment to something that's already, that ball's already rolling down that hill, is actually stronger than that.
Yeah.
It's not going to say it's not going to be an easy couple of years or whatever, but there is something about work like this that carries you through that helps you kind of re-tap into what actually matters. That feels important, I think. Maybe I feel very excited about this project for a lot of reasons, but that's something that I've been reflecting on. Feels like a good time, if ever there was a more necessary time perhaps, for this record and that kind of kaupapa of collaboration and community to come through.
Yeah, and it's almost crazy timing. It's I mean, you don't want it to fit in.
No.
I don't want, you know, like I bring a certain energy, you know, Rahira.
Yeah.
And I've done that for 20 years.
Yeah.
Back when it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing to see things unfold that fit in exactly how I'm, you know, how I see the world.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing, you know.
No. Sometimes but, I'd love to be a little bit out of tune with what's going on.
Yeah. But, you know, like it is, you know, this is a, Māori are good on a fight.
Yeah.
This is when we unify. This is when our initiatives come from. This is where our innovation comes when we're under threat. I think for me, I've always seen that. And so I know that, you know, just as it happened 20 years ago, we got the Iwi Chess Forum and the Māori Party. What's going to come out of this one? It's you know, that's exciting. But it's been equally as inspiring to see all our allies. We've, you know, some of us have spent our whole career trying to say, hey, are there any allies here? And to see them step up like the way they have in the last couple of months is like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, we're not alone anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the same time, frightening, the focus is on all these, you know, the attacking of Māori policies, and it's like, well, you can't end those things. They started in garages. We can go back to setting them up in garages.
Yeah.
We don't need your funding. What scares me is the stuff that goes under the radar, the impact on housing and employment laws. That's what's going to hit our people, I think. So it's almost good for the government that we're focusing on te reo and te tiriti, because there are some really insidious things that will perhaps go under the radar with this very, you know, quiet Prime Minister. While we're fighting with those two, he's going to be the one putting our kids back in cars and so on. So yeah, a lot to face. There's hope and there's fear. And what do we do with that? Action, art, aroha, connection, kōrero, all those things. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think we should listen to the song now, Te Opera. It's been really awesome to chat with you. March the 22nd, that's when the United Tribes of Base is out. Who else is on this record? You've got Karu here, but tell us a wee bit about some of the other artists that you've collaborated with.
Yep, Karu, of course. Accept is from Christchurch, Tangata Māori. I've been like ripping off their tunes for years, so it was, you know, like I ripped off them to write Hirere Tiara. So
nice.
Like it was like when they said, oh yeah, I might remix that, I was like, well yeah, it's a rip off of you. They can't see it, but I can. Big Fat Raro from Feke Fortress, powerful remix, like that's the next single. Nē Tana, who's been, you know, he's just a legend, who's done so many things I can't even list them all, but he's a long time friend from Te Rorua. Haz G Bridge, the homie, you know, the cuz, Who else? Samara Lofa, my favourite singer.
Yeah.
You know, Ricky Gooch, another person I've stolen drum samples and loops off his published recordings. Big Wah from Tauranga, you know, they run that gallery. Well, they ran that gallery down there. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's exciting. Did I miss anyone else? I think that's it. Yeah.
I think that's the crew, yeah. And then there's going to be a big party as well to celebrate it, which is awesome. 12th of April, that's the United Tribes of Bass release show. Everybody stick it in your calendar right now. Synchronize watches. It's going to be a very good time. Under the radar for the tickets, and that is at Whammy Bar. Right. Mokotron, thank you so much for coming in. Te opera, it's always a pleasure. This is Tawhito, the Karu remix, first single from United Tribes of Bass.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.